Amen. Okay, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, looking tonight at great reward, great reward. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. I pray that the Holy Spirit now would comfort, guide, and strengthen us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 32. Hebrews 10 and verse 32. But call to remembrance the former days in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For he had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath what? Great recompense of reward. We've been talking about great rewards, not just rewards, but great rewards one day. And the first thing we looked at was the greatest reward is to know the Lord. That's the greatest reward. We're not going there to admire crowns. We are going there to admire and to worship the Lord. The second thing, there's a great reward for keeping God's word. The third thing we saw, there's a great reward for suffering persecution. And last time we saw, there's a great reward for loving our enemies. And number five tonight, there is a great reward for laying up treasure in heaven, a great reward. Now he's talking to them here about in verse 34, ye had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. They took joyfully the spoiling of their goods. Now, if someone, because we were Christians, if they came and wiped us out, I mean, they know we're at church right now. What would happen if we went home and I mean, the house was bare. They took everything. And they left a note on the door. Serves you right, Christian. Would we take that joyfully? Well, he says here, you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. How could they take it joyfully? Verse 34, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. So laying up treasure is a step of faith. A step of faith. Now let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, because when it comes to finances, there is no amount of money that we can give to buy our way to heaven. There is no amount. Whether it's the DeVosses or the Van Andels or the Myers or the, lost his name, the computer guy, Gates, Bill Gates. All these people have huge amounts of money, but none of them can get us to heaven. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter 1, 18, for as much as ye what? Know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the what? Precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I read a horrible news item. I think that was yesterday. Maybe some of you did too. But there were a couple guys that were surfing off the coast of California, and it was new waters to them. But anyway, one got attacked by a shark, and it just shows you shouldn't joke about things. But they were joking the night before about what if they should get attacked by a shark. I guess they thought it was funny the night before. But they were out there, and the two guys and the one got attacked, and the friend who survived described it as the water suddenly turned red. Just a horrible thing to watch your friend. And as we think about here in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, we cannot buy our way into heaven. And this young man grabbed his friend's body after the attack and was trying to do heart compressions and things on him, headed back. But he'd lost too much blood, and it's only with the precious blood of Christ that we can be saved. It's not giving any amount of money can do it. But what we're talking about tonight is not salvation in this regard of great rewards in heaven, but we're talking about, that's it, rewards. Not salvation, but rewards. And it takes a lot of faith to lay up treasure in heaven instead of here. There are always more things to purchase down here. Have you noticed that? It seems like the latest craze right now is fancy cell phones that you can text. You know, having like little keypads instead of just numbers, you know. And it seems like that right now is the latest craze. But just before that, you had to have a razor. I don't mean to shave. I mean the razor phones. And I'll probably have these out of order, of course, but, you know, iPods has been a recent craze. I gotta have an iPod. I just can't go without an iPod. But before that, there were other little listening devices, and I racked my brain to try to think of what they were. What were those little digital things before iPods? Okay, Walkmans. Were those the discs, the CDs? Okay. Wasn't there a name for those little gadgets? Pardon? Okay, MP3 players. That's what I was. I just couldn't remember what those were, because in the sound booth, you know, there's you know, we've had some people on the road, and you know, they couldn't listen to it in WAV files or whatever it was, and so it had to be an MP3 format. And you're saying this is all Greek to me. Yeah, it is to me too. But so before the iPods, it seems like it was the MP3 players. You know, you can get all these hours of music on this little digital gadget, you know. And so, I mean, everyone is walking around now with earplugs. You know, it's just, I mean, everyone's listening to something or someone. Like Brother Steve said, the Walkmans. Got to have a laptop. Got to have a digital camera. I think Mrs. Verberg was taking a picture, and some little type says, well, let me see it. She was taking a picture, and he says, well, let me see the picture. Well, she had a film camera. He couldn't see the picture. So, I mean, even these little tykes, I mean, they want to see it now. I mean, they're in the digital age, you know? So, I mean, before that, it was video cameras, digital video cameras. And before that, what was it? Wasn't digital. Okay. Yeah, they have tapes. Can't think there's a name. Before digital. Pardon me? Oh, well. There was a digital craze. There was some electronic designation before digital. Can't think what it was. Anyway, I mean, some of our video camera, I think before this one, was not digital. It was something else. Anyway, and before that, I mean, you're talking about Super 8 movie cameras. And then before that, 8 millimeter cameras. And you're talking about Polaroid Instamatic cameras. I mean, where you get the picture in a few minutes, you got to watch it kind of form before your eyes, you know. There were weed eaters. I remember back years ago, I just, wow, don't have to use grass scissors, you know, a weed eater. Of course, the gas-powered weed eaters. Everyone had to try an electric-powered weed eater at first. They're a lot cheaper, but sooner or later, you run out of cord. I saw someone down the road, I don't know, maybe last summer. It was a lady, and she had cord strung all the way from the house way out to M57, and she was at the end of her cord, the end of her rope too, and she was mad. I mean, you could just see her jerk that thing, and so you come to the end of your rope, your cord, sooner or later. And before that, it was microwave ovens, and there's always been new gadgets. And of course now, if you go back a little ways or so, I mean, you had the little, was it 45 RPM little records, and then I don't know what the bigger ones were, and then they went to, I don't know what you called those old tape. Was it 8-track tapes? I think it was 8-track tapes, yeah. And then it went to cassette tapes, and now we're back to plastic disc again, CDs. And I mean, man can't make up his mind. And it's not enough when the electronic field, I mean, they're always doing something to take our money. Have you noticed that? And we've just got to have it. I mean, we just got to have that weed eater, you know. Do they even make grass scissors anymore? I don't know. I mean, maybe we should write our congressman. I think I deserve to have a weed eater, don't you? I think that's an American right to have a weed eater in every home. So, I mean, it's endless, isn't it? It is. And if it isn't enough, they do that to us electronics, they do that to us with clothes. You know, I don't have a striped tie on, but, or, I mean, sometimes stripes are in, sometimes it's plaids. You ladies know how that goes. What is it? You can't wear white shoes in the winter? You got to wear those in the summer? You might blend in with the snow, I guess. I don't know. But you got to have other color during the winter. I mean, it's just endless what they do to us. Different styles. I didn't know suits ever changed, but you know what? They do. Sometimes there's real wide lapels, and sometimes they get skinny. Sometimes ties are wide, sometimes they're real skinny. I mean, it's just endless. And the thing is that in life, we can do nothing but invest our money in whatever's in style or whatever new invention they get out. So it takes faith to lay up treasure in heaven instead of here. You know, all those electric weed eaters. Now, where do you find them? At the garage sales. Nobody wants them. You know, one person's junk is another person's treasure. Maybe they don't even have those at garage sales anymore. I don't know. Lady down the road has one from somewhere, but so let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. It takes faith as a Christian to lay up treasure in heaven, to look beyond. And some of these gadgets, of course, are nice to have. We're just a little delayed after the world. I mean, can you comprehend what's going on? When I was a boy, no one got up at midnight and went to a store to wait for anything. Nowadays, every time a new video game comes out, you have people waiting in line at midnight for the store to open the next morning, or some new movie, or some new electronic gadget. It's unbelievable. They've just got to have it. Got to have it as soon as it comes out. Matthew 6:19. Lay what? Not up for yourselves treasures where? Upon earth. Where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Your heart be also. So it takes faith to lay up treasure in heaven. Now, some people say, well, put your money where your mouth is. Well, the fact is, we put our money where our hearts are. That's what we do. We put our money wherever our heart is. Whatever our heart is set on, that's where we put our money. Is our hearts in heaven, or are they upon earth? Verse 21 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Every once in a while, someone will say to me, I can't afford to tithe. Can't afford to tithe. Well, they're just bringing a curse upon themselves. That is not a financial problem. When people say, I can't afford to tithe, that's not a financial problem. It's a faith problem. It's a faith problem. There are many times in our lives, in Sandy and I's lives, where you couldn't sit down and on paper figure out that we could pay our bills. You couldn't sit down on paper and figure out, okay, we can afford to tithe. There have been times like that. I was going to Bible school on paper. If you were to write it down how much I made on paper, I did not have enough to pay the tuition. If you were to write it down on paper, I did not make enough money to pay our car insurance. If you were to write it down on paper, I did not make enough money to buy groceries. Funny thing is, though, we never went without. Each semester, they had a rule down there. If your bill wasn't paid up before final exams, you couldn't take final exams. You had to go to the office and have them sign a paper saying you can give this student the final exam because he's paid his bill. They wouldn't let us unless the bill was paid. I never had to worry about that. I could always take the test. I don't know if that was a blessing or not. Taking a test, well, anyway, I guess that's over. But on paper, I never had enough money. When that car insurance bill was coming, I knew I didn't have enough money to pay it. But you know what? It always got paid. Groceries. And you know, God works in many ways. I can remember when Jeremy and Holly was just very small, and we were there in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and our outing for the week was going to McDonald's. I mean, that's all we could afford. Now, this is a kind of a big joke because they were telling about in the last few days about this guy who found this McDonald's hamburger in his coat pocket. And he had ordered, I guess, two McDonald's hamburgers, and he ate one, put the other in his pocket. Well, he forgot about it, and the next year, he got that coat back out. He felt something in his pocket, and it was the McDonald's hamburger perfectly intact. And so he got to thinking, there's something wrong with this, because a hamburger shouldn't last a whole year, not being refrigerated or anything. And so we just joked about it. If you want to live forever, just eat McDonald's hamburgers. You know, the hamburger never dies, so I guess you won't either. Well, we know that's not true. It was appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgments. But anyway, we would go out to McDonald's, and just showing you how God can stretch your money. Jeremy and Holly split one McDonald's hamburger. They each ate half. And they said they were full. I think they split a little. I think it was a small French fry. Sorry, we fed our children all this health food. We didn't know any better. But half of a French fry and half of a drink. I don't know what we did. Maybe we brought water. I don't know what we did about drinks. But I mean, God can stretch your money. Just amazing that they were full, splitting one little McDonald's hamburger and one little French fry. So there's so many ways God can stretch your money and make it last. Look at Malachi chapter 3. So when we lay up treasures in heaven, it may not always work out on paper that you can't afford it. But it's not a financial decision. It is a faith decision. Will I do what God says and will I trust him? In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8, will a man what? Rob God? We have a gospel tract about what would it take to make us become robbers? If we couldn't make the house payment, if we tithe, would we say, well, God will understand. I've got to make this house payment. And so I'm just not going to be able to tithe. Or I've got to make this car payment. I've just got to make it. And if I tithe, I do not have money for the car. So God's going to understand. I got to make the car payment. The Lord knows I need this car. Well, the Bible says, will a man rob God? If we couldn't make the house payment, would we rob the bank? No. If we couldn't make the car payment, would we rob the bank? No. Why? Because we know we wouldn't get away with it. Our conscience wouldn't let us get away with it. God wouldn't let us get away with it. But it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In what? Tithes and offerings. Ye are what? Cursed with a curse. When people say to me, I can't afford to tithe. Brother, sister, you can't afford not to tithe. I know that was two negatives there, but I think you get the gist. We bring a curse upon ourselves. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. So God puts a test out, verse 10. Bring ye all the what? Tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and what? Prove me now. Here, God says, prove me. Do what I say, and prove me. If what? Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and what? Pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be what? Room enough to receive it. He says, prove me. Notice in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Have you ever opened a box of cereal or I was going to say a bag of potato chips, but maybe I shouldn't talk about that. Just pretend they're not cooked in oil, whatever. Pretend they're cooked in olive oil. How's that? I'm trying to get you to eat better. Amen. But just imagine you open a bag, and I mean, it looks like someone ate half the bag already. Or you open a box of cereal, and it looks like someone ate half the box. Then you read on the box, you know, contents may appear to be settled, you know, or may settle in whatever they say. And you think, yeah, they sure settled a long ways. I wonder how much they really put in there. But notice in Luke 6:38, what's the first word? Give, and it shall be what? Given unto you. That, all of these financial principles go against this modern-day faith promise giving. This is so common. What they say is pray to God for an amount to give. If he will give it, then you'll give it back. Well, as we're going to see, God is not impressed if he dumps a boatload of something on us and if we give it back. We're going to look at that in just a moment. The first thing is give. Financially speaking, the first requirement is always that we give. First, give and it shall be given unto you. Just like God says, prove me now here. If you tithe, just prove me and see if I don't open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Same thing it's saying here, give and it shall be given you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and what? Running over shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet, with it shall be measured you again. It says there, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I mean, what would happen? What would you think if the next time you open a box of cereal, the contents just start flying out. It was so full. Or you open the bag of healthy potato chips, and potato chips just went flying everywhere. There were so many in the bag. You'd probably have a heart attack. You know, what is this? God says, if we will give, He will give back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You can't get any more in the box. That's the point. So people say, I can't afford to tithe. I can't afford to lay up treasures in heaven. They're bringing upon themselves a curse. They're robbing themselves of blessings, seeing God at work. On paper, can you feed 5,000 people with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes? That doesn't work on paper. Now, the young people had a progressive supper, and how much food can young people eat? Well, I don't know, but they only ate about half or less of each thing at each house. I mean, there was tons of food left over. I said we should have had a fellowship today and finished off that food. Amen. All kinds of things. Notice in John chapter 6, how do you figure to feed 5,000 people? 5,000 people. You can't do it with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. That doesn't work on paper. I mean, and all the young people said they were full. I stopped to get gas on the way home, and I don't think anyone was hoping to stop, you know, at Burger King or McDonald's or something, you know, to fill up. In John chapter 6 and verse 5, John 6, 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him. God wants to prove us and us to prove him. In other words, to obey. Just do it. This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Did you realize every problem we face, God already knows what he's going to do? He already knows. Verse 7, Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were what? Filled. These 5,000 men, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled what? 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Can you imagine that? The 5 barley loaves and a couple fishes wouldn't fill 12 baskets to begin with, but they did at the end. So, prove the Lord. Prove the Lord. On paper, it didn't work. Later on, try to figure out on paper from Mark chapter 8, how are you going to feed 4,000 men with 7 loaves and a few small fishes? It doesn't work on paper, but it did work that day. Because Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. I'm thankful when I was just a young boy, my parents taught me to tithe. And so when I got older, I didn't have this big decision. Okay, God wants 10%. How am I going to do it? I just grew up knowing that when you do it, God meets your needs. God has used widows oftentimes to show just how he meets needs. Notice in 1 Kings 17, God used a widow here to feed Elijah. And this widow was at the final stages of what she thought was going to be her soon death. And in 1 Kings 17, and verse 8, 1 Kings 17:8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake, what? First, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. So, verse 15, she went and did it. But notice once again, it's honoring God first, doing what the word of the Lord says first, and then God will meet our needs, and he does. Notice then in Mark chapter 12, the widow woman with 2 mites. Okay, she couldn't match the giving of those who were giving ahead of her. So what did God tell her to do? Did God say, that's okay, widow woman, just fill out this pledge card. Just, wish real hard, pray hard that God would give you a lot of money, and just tell God you'll give it back. You know, a lot of times people in this faith promise use the situation of Samuel. You know, Hannah praying, God, if you'll give me a son, I will give him back. Okay, well, in that instance, that's the only way you can do it. I mean, you can't give children before they exist. And so don't use that illustration when it comes to finances. And that's a big illustration they use in the faith promise system, is Hannah promising, if God gives her a son, she will give the son back. Because in the financial verses, it always says, Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given. And Malachi chapter 3, bring ye all the tithes to the storehouse. Prove me then if I will not open the windows of heaven. Financially, it's always give first and trust God. Notice here in Mark 12:41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were what? Rich cast in what? Much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in what? 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast what? More in than all they which have cast into the treasury. You see, he wasn't comparing this widow woman to all these rich people. You know what? There might be a child here tonight that gave 1 penny. But that 1 penny was a far greater percentage of what they have than whatever else we may have put in. And from this offering tonight, it may be just a little child that'll get a greater reward in heaven than any of us. Like this widow woman here, she cast in 2 mites. And Jesus said in verse 43, this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their what? Abundance. I want you to have a think about that when it comes to the faith giving system. Okay, if faith promise giving, if biblical giving is me praying that God would give me an amount to give over and above that which I possess so I can give back, what is that amount that he dropped in my lap? To me, it is an abundance, is it not? I mean, they specifically say, I've studied this out. Oswald Smith, I believe, was the man. You can read it in one of the Bible courses, but he's the one that kind of contrived, he's from Canada, kind of contrived this whole faith-giving system. And I mean, it caught on like wildfire, not just in Baptist churches, all kinds of churches. Why? Because it brings in a lot of money. That's why. You know, hey, it's like credit cards. It's easy to spend now. It's not so easy to pay later. But anyway, his specific teaching was, don't look at your checkbook. Don't look at your savings account. I want you to pray for an amount of money that you cannot see that you have. I want you to pray for an amount of money that God would give you. And if he will give that to you, you promise him you'll give it back. Okay, well, that means that that amount of money is just an abundance to you. Something you can't see. You don't count on it. It's not in your savings. It's not in your checkbook. It's just an abundance. So, okay, God, if you'll drop this abundance in my lap, I'll give it back. Well, what did he say there in verse 44? He's saying of the rich people, for all they did cast in of their, what? Abundance. But she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her, what? Her living. That was money that she needed to live on. That is true faith giving. She needed those two mites to survive. But she gave them. Now she does have to live by faith. I can't buy groceries this week. I gave my two mites. I've got to trust God now for the food. Like the widow feeding Elijah. Okay, I'll give you the cake first. That's all there is. Unless God provides. Well, God did provide. The barrel of meal did not waste. The oil did not stop. That's always the way God works. So, back in Matthew chapter 6, in closing, there is great reward for laying up treasure in heaven. Matthew 6, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your what? Your heart be also. Well, we didn't have time to finish the rest of this chapter, but people say, but I can't survive if I do that. People say, but in this day and age, how can you survive on one income? That's a whole other story too. Titus chapter 2, you know, the Bible tells wives to be keepers at home. How do you survive? You might not be able to figure it out on paper. It's by faith. It's by faith. But as you read down through Matthew chapter 6, our food, our clothes, our drink, everything we need to survive, God says he'll provide. Verse 33, but seek ye what? First the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And so we just need to put God first. So Hebrews 10, 32 through 35, there is a great reward for putting God first, for laying up treasure in heaven. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we are reminded once again that we cannot buy our way to heaven. We cannot give money to redeem our souls. That does not work. You tell us that it's corruptible. Money is corruptible. It's filthy lucre. Lord, we thank you that it's only the precious, pure blood of Christ that washes away our sins. But I pray that you'd help us once we do make that decision and turn from our sin to the Lord Jesus, then we are your children, and you want us to prove you. You want us to walk by faith. And Lord, we know these times are difficult for many families, very tight. Jobs are hard to come by. But Lord, even in these hard times, help us not to rob you. Help us to prove you and to experience your wonderful blessings, your provision for us. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.